All right. Fixing to read the text here in Colossians 3, but I do want to say this, that I appreciate this church, and I know that a lot of people have said that already, but always get filled up when we come to this meeting. And I'm fully aware that there's a whole lot that goes in. You have to fight the devil all year long just to be able to do something like this. And that there's always a local church here that's being faithful, or you can't have a meeting like this. So thank you very much. Thank you very much for everything that's went into it, and your hospitality and your kindness, and just a real blessing. I'm thankful to have gotten to hear the preaching. Man, I need to hear that. Don't you need to hear preaching?
Amen.
Need to hear preaching. And that's just been a great, great blessing. I'm real thankful for that. And so let's go ahead and get into the text here. And the Bible says, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, it says, "Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye." I don't know about you, but I feel like I could spend some time in the altar right there on that. Amen. But it says right there in the next verse, "And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." I want to ask Brother Tom Holden if he would pray, please.
Amen.
All right. Now, we're going somewhere today, so y'all just kind of stay with me, if you would, as we kind of journey there. But the Bible says right here that above all these things that are already listed in this text, and for sake of time, we're not going to go over to 2 Peter 1 and read a very similar list that we're told, some things that we're supposed to put on and things that we're supposed to add. I know that that's already been preached on some, and even this morning. But it says, "And above all these, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." So I'm going to preach a little bit this morning. I'm going to just tell you, I'm not preaching on something that I got victory on. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you get victory on something, now it's time to let everybody else have it. But this is something that God has been dealing with me about, and something that I've been praying about in my own life. I just want to preach to you a little bit this morning about loving the brethren.
Amen.
Amen. Loving the brethren and having charity one to another. Now, I know that those words, let me just preface this. I know there's a room full of Bible believers. I've already ran this by Dr. Stevens, and I'm not using the words love and charity necessarily interchangeable. I'm not saying, you know, that they're the same thing, but they are double first cousins. All right? So let's just go and get that established before somebody goes for critiquing too strongly because they have a lack of love or charity. Amen. But let me just say a few things, kind of just setting up here. Notice what it says. Let's turn over to John chapter 13. Let's just look at a little bit of groundwork here. John chapter 13. Now, we're told that we're supposed to put on charity, and then the Bible tells us in John chapter 13, verse number 34, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." So this is something that's commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Be careful not to dispensationalize that away. He's commanded that we're supposed to love one another. Another thing that it is, when we love one another, it's a badge to the world. The Bible says right there in verse number 35, By what? The love you have one to another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. So it makes a statement to the world. Turn a few pages over to the right. Go to John chapter 17, please. This is the actual Lord's Prayer. And as the Lord's praying right here, Jesus Christ is praying. Look what he says when you get on down there to verse number 26. "Now I've declared unto them thy name," and will declare it. It says that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. So not only is this something that's commanded that we're supposed to do, and not only is it something that's a badge to the world, but it's something that Jesus Christ himself prayed would be inside of his disciples, that they would love one another.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I know you can hit a snag when you get to that, but another thing, and we won't turn over there, but in 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible starts listing some things about charity over there. And it tells you what it is. But before it gets to that, in those first three verses, it starts talking about that if I don't have charity, I'm saying nothing. Sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And then he says this, even though I've got all this knowledge and understand the mysteries and I got great faith. Listen, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Is that right? So you get knowledge from the Word of God. So if you get that knowledge, your faith gets built. And he said, I've got enough faith that I can pray and I can move a mountain. But if I don't have charity, he said, I am nothing. Then he goes on down and he said, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and he said, I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now I'm not going to run out on a limb and really try to get too deep right there, but I do know this, you don't personally profit if you don't have charity. According to what it's saying. So the idea is this thing of charity is very, very important that we get one to another. Let me just go ahead and preface this. We've been preaching about the local church, talking about the local body. So before you write off what I'm saying, or before it's too ecumenical or whatever, let's just hone it in and just talk about the local church. Because we can always find somebody out there and say, you mean we're supposed to love them? Let's just take baby steps this morning as Bible believers. Let's think about those within the four walls where we gather every week. Let's think about our candlestick or flock, if you will. And let's think about our family, our immediate family, spiritually speaking, and talk about loving one another in there. Amen. So it's very important that we have this. The Bible tells us over in Galatians 5, you don't have to turn there, but over in Galatians 5, it talks about biting and devouring one another. You know the danger of developing teeth? Babies don't have teeth. Is that right? They don't have teeth. They drink milk and they don't have teeth. You know the danger of beginning to cut your teeth spiritually? You say, I'm ready for some meat. If you don't know how to use those teeth, you won't just be eating meat, you'll start eating one another. You don't ever have to worry about a baby Christian biting and devouring another Christian. I don't know that I've ever heard that. Somebody just gets saved, they come in, they're just beaming, they think everybody's right with God, they think it's the greatest place in the world, it's just wonderful. Everybody's so spiritual around here. Wow! And then they begin to cut the teeth. And then they begin to learn from those around them how to use the teeth. And instead of using those teeth, which come along with maturity, to eat the meat, and even sometimes spit out the bone, eat the meat, we'll look around and we start biting sheep. Amen. You know why we do that? We do that because of a lack of love and charity one to another. Amen. All right, let's shift gears for just a minute here. Now, the Lord had, I'm heading somewhere, we're just coming a long way around. The Lord had how many disciples? Come on now, some of y'all done graduated this week. Look at me up here all by myself. How many disciples? 12. And then he had an inner circle that consisted of how many? And then there was a special somebody there. There was one individual that was special, had a special relationship beyond the other threes, and his name was?
John.
Exactly. See, we know that. Now, I want to preach to you a little bit this morning, some things that we'll get from John, the Apostle John. Now, this Apostle John is the one that's always talking about love, 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 love. Is that right? You go over to 1 John, I think it's mentioned 32 times. Don't turn there right now. If you go to 1 John, it's mentioned 32 times. And I'll tell you this. He knew about loving the brethren. He's always talking about loving the brethren, loving each other, having the love of God in us. Amen. Don't tune it out. Amen. Don't tune it out. We want the whole council, don't we? Is that right? We want the whole, let's don't claim we want the whole council, if we're not willing to receive the whole council. This is part of the council. Amen? Now, you know what John did? John was a real man. John believed in revealed truth. You say, how do you get that? God gave him the book of Revelation to pen down. He's pretty big on truth, pretty big on revelation out of the Scriptures. You know what else the Lord did? I mean, you know what else John penned down, the Lord allowed him to pin down? Over there in the last chapter of the book of Revelation, you know what John said? You better not be adding to or taking away from the words of this prophecy. John believed in supporting the book. Oh my! So in other words, we've got somebody that's a Bible believer. He's a supporter of Scripture. He believes in revealed truth. We've got a man that was not afraid to display his actual manhood. That man was deep fried in oil and still continued to serve God after that. There's not been any of us that have went through that. John was a real man. But we also know that John was the apostle of love. Amen. You don't have to trade one for the other. You don't have to trade one for the other. Now, I've seen it off balance on both sides. I've seen somebody so sweet, if they come up and shook your hand, you'd get diabetes. And I've also seen guys that scowl so mean, I wouldn't get near them to shake their hand. Amen? You don't have to be one or the other. You can be a real man. You can support truth. You can support this book. Say, you don't add to it, you don't take away from it. But I love you. John dealt a lot with loving the brethren over in 1 John. 2 John is even addressed to the elect lady and children whom I love in the truth. He was willing to tell that old lady there, I love you. And then here's a big one. 3 John's addressed to Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Had a brother text me last night, said, I sure do love you, brother. You say, what'd you say back? I said, you get that fairy junk out of here. Come on, man, what's wrong? Say, what'd you say? I love you too, man. I love you too. I love you in the truth. I love you in the Lord. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, the Lord supports that, that we love one another. We love the brethren. So let me just kind of bring this out while we're still over in John, I believe. Turn over to John 13. John 13. You say, what was it that made John different? What was it that set John apart when it came to loving the brethren? Why is it then when we want to highlight loving the brethren that we always want to, you're not going to preach on love and say anything about the love of God or loving one another without referencing the things that John wrote? It's not going to happen. You say, what was it that made him different? Look in John chapter 13, verse number 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. You say, what's the point being made right there? The point being made is this. The point being made is this. It was leaning on his bosom, the disciple, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved. Do you know 5 different times there's a guy in there that's referenced as the disciple whom Jesus loved? 5 different times I think it's referenced. And somebody is described as this disciple whom Jesus loved. Do you know what book it is that you're reading that in? You're reading it in the book of? Do you know who it was that wrote that book? John. Do you know who the disciple whom Jesus loved was? So in other words, wait a minute. We got a guy here that we always have to reference on love. We always got to bring him up about loving the brethren. I want to say this first. The first thing I believe that led to him being able to love the brethren is he understood in his heart that Jesus Christ loved him. Until we get an idea that God Almighty sits up in heaven, but He loves me and He cares about me, you're not going to be able to go any further until you can get a hold of that. You got to understand that there's a God in heaven that even though you mess up, and even though you do wrong, even though you don't get it right all the time, He still loves you because He purposed He would do that. You cannot be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You say, well, I don't know about that, preacher. I don't know about that. Well, let me put some Pauline doctrine on it for you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that we believe in not taking away from or adding to. Is that right? We believe in right division. We believe that the apostle to the Gentiles was the apostle Paul. Say, what's he doing? He's just further solidifying the statement. It says right there, Romans chapter 8, verse 38, for I am persuaded. He said, I got this one down, buddy. I got this one down. You will not change my mind on this one. It says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know what happened according to 1 Corinthians 12? When you got baptized over into the body of Christ, you got in Christ, you were put in there by the Holy Ghost. Is that right? And He puts you over into that body, and it says now that you cannot be separated from the love of God, which is where? In Christ. Where am I? In Christ. I'm just right up there, just saddled right up next to the love of God, right there in Christ. And even if you don't agree with it, you can't separate me from it. You know what John had a hold of? John wasn't afraid to say, I don't know if y'all know who I am, but I'm the disciple whom Jesus loves. You say, yeah, but I've read through there where John didn't have it right all the time. Sometimes John got a bad spirit. Sometimes John got a... Oh, yeah, but you know what John always had a grip on? I'm the disciple whom Jesus loved. He loves me. Amen. I know some of you, this is not quite to your taste. You wish it was about 10 times meaner. Amen. Well, I'm sorry, but Jesus loves you too. You like it or not, He loves you too. Ain't nothing you can do about it, man. Amen. You say, well, maybe I could separate myself from it. I would say go try, but don't go try. You can't get separated from it. You know what? You're never going to get to that place of loving the brethren until you understand what kind of Father you got looking down at you. Amen. You say, what is He? Well, it says over there in 1 John. Let me read one over. Let's turn over there. Let's look at it. Let's all look at it. You look at it, your book. Look at 1 John 3. Look at 1 John 3. Look what he says. 1 John 3. First he has to get your attention. He says, behold! You know what that means? In Alabama it means, hey, look up in here. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. You know why He calls us His Son? To show us what manner it is by which He loves us. Amen. You know how He loves me? He loves me like a son. Amen. You know why? Because I am a son and He's my Father. Amen. You know what anybody in here ought to be able to say in their heart today? I'm the Christian whom Jesus loves. You say, but Brother Jared, you don't understand that I'm just a piece of dirt. Oh, I know. I didn't argue that. But Brother Jared, you don't understand what I've done and I'm a sinner. Oh, I didn't argue that. I understand that. But what I'm talking about is for some reason that's beyond our comprehension, that this gift that can't even be explained, that even though we're a piece of dirt, even though we're nobodies, even though we just really don't even have anything to bring to the table, even when we think we do, for some reason, God Almighty in heaven has decided and purposed from now throughout eternity that I cannot be separated from His love. You say, what's He doing right now? He's up on the sides of the north and He's loving me. And He's loving you this morning if you're in His family. Amen. So, Brother Jared, that's hard to receive. Why? Why is it hard to receive? Listen, do you know what the devil's been doing for a long time? You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. You know what he tries to do? He tries to skew man's view of God. Well, if God really cared about you, He'd let you eat the fruit. All he just knows that you're just going to be like God's when you eat the fruit. And He's keeping a real good thing from you. He's keeping something bad from Him. So you know what He's trying to do? He's trying to twist that view. You know what He'll do to you? Even though you believe in the revealed Word of God, even though you believe it shouldn't be added to and taken away from and all that, but you know what He'll do if He can? He'll try to twist that thing where God's always, He's not your Father, He's just a tyrant breathing down your neck, waiting. Oh, I can't wait for Him to mess up. God is not sitting up in heaven with little man syndrome. Waiting to prove a point soon as you step out of line. One fellow said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into your mind? Who is sitting up in heaven right now looking at you? Who is He? See, a lot of times we lose sight of the fact that He's a loving, caring Father.
Amen.
I got two kids. You say, are they perfect kids? No. No, not even close. You just keep listening. Lily will be acting up in a minute. But you know what? I love those kids more. I'll look at them sometimes and think, I couldn't even put this into words how much I love them.
Amen.
I know I probably mentioned some of this before, but my preacher had told me, he said, when you have your first kid, he said, you're going to start understanding more about your relationship with God the Father. You're going to get a little bit better understanding from that angle. There'll be times I'll go in his room, and there with him. I got all kind of pictures. I was telling Brother Josh, I got all kind of pictures on my phone of my kids when they're sleeping. I love to look at them when they're sleeping because they're the cutest. Take pictures of them. Got all kind. Well, they'll be sleeping. One of them will be turned all the way around in the bed. You know what I'm talking about? Hanging off the bed. Taking them pictures. And I'll go in there and look at them sometimes, Brother Woodard, and I'll be staring at them. And I'll be thinking about how much I love them kids.
Amen.
Love just pours out of my heart toward them.
Amen.
You say, well, they must have had a perfect day that day and made straight A's in school and never disobeyed. No, it ain't that. They might even step out of line where I had to spank them that day. But it didn't change whatever it was in my heart. Something just pouring out. I'm just loving on them. And there will be times when I'm doing that, when I can remember the words that my pastor told me, and I'll think about my Heavenly Father who's looking at me, looking at them, and how He's feeling by me like I feel by them. You believe God loves you this morning? You believe He loves you? I was glad to be able to tell this young lady. We stopped in this gas station. We was traveling from somewhere, and we stopped off in this gas station. This young lady was, she was behind the counter there, and there was a line of people. Didn't have time to say very much, but I wanted to say something. Look there, she had real bright blue eyeshadow on. Bright neon blue looking. I got up there, and you could tell that she had had a rough life. I got up there to the counter. I thought, I need to say something. And I said, ma'am, I said, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she started talking, I noticed why she had that bright blue eyeshadow on. Because her teeth, you could tell, were all eat up from probably using meth. And she said, I got saved when I was a little girl. I was 8 years old and I got saved and baptized. And he said, what'd you tell her? I told her, well, if you cared anything at all about Christianity and you cared anything at all about the Lord, you'd be in a church right now. And you'd be doing right now. And shame on you. And let me go get my Bible. And I said, ma'am, I said, let me just tell you this. I said, you realize the Lord loved you when you was 8 years old? Said, yeah. I said, He loves you just the same right now. I said, He's been waiting for a long time for you to go home when you get off work, when you lay down in the bed, and just start talking to Him. I said, don't worry about, don't get nervous, don't worry, just say, Lord, it's me. And He'll step in and take over from there. Amen? Boy, you talk about that love of God, how deep it runs. You ought to be able to say with great confidence this morning, without any worry about what the brethren think, without any worry about what the devil thinks, I can say this morning, I'm the preacher, I'm the Christian whom Jesus loves.
Amen.
He loves me. He loves me. You have to get a hold of that first before you can go any further. You got to get a hold of that. If you don't get a hold of that, you're never going to love the brethren. You're never going to love the brethren. So you know what this causes? You know what this puts in John? John realizes the Lord loves me. I mean, He loves me a lot. So you know what John starts doing? He starts loving Him back. He starts loving Him back. You know what he does over there in John chapter 13? They're sitting around there. And the Bible talks about one leaning on his bosom. You know who that was? That was that disciple whom Jesus loved. That was John. Everybody's sitting around and they're all eating and all that. You know what John does? He says, oh, excuse me, Peter. Let me get by you right there. Andrew, whoop, trying to get right over there. Get right, whoop, didn't mean to get your finger there. Everybody's looking up at him saying, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? There's a seat right over here. He said, oh, no, I understand. But this guy over here loves me and I want to get close to him as I can. So, excuse me, fella.
Amen?
So he sits down there by him and you know what he does? He starts loving back on him. You know what the Lord wants from you? He wants you to get near Him. He wants you to come in and get close to Him. He wants you to walk up Him saying, hey, come over here and sit by me. Lay your head over on me. You know what John didn't do? John didn't say, excuse me, sir, permission to come and sit beside you. And the Lord looked at him all weird and him say, I have my checklist of good boy deeds that I did today. And I have, looks like I'm going to get my sit beside Jesus merit badge tonight. I hit all my little checkpoints today. It wasn't a checkpoint. Let me get over there by Him. Matter of fact, if you make a habit of getting close to Him, realizing He loves you and wants you to come on in, and then you love Him back, that stuff will begin to take care of itself. You know what jumped off of Jesus and got on that woman with that issue of blood? You say, I want to be more virtuous. Get near Him. He ain't no greater virtue than what comes out of Him. That woman got to crawling over there and she reached up and touched the hem of His garment. He turned around and said, whoa, virtue just went out of me. You say, but Brother Jared, I need to get virtuous. You don't need to get virtuous before you get to Him. You get to Him and take His virtue over on you. He loved you and He wants you to get near Him this morning. And He said, He's got a seat for you. Come right over here and sit by me. Amen? If he would have had the wrong view of God, you know what he would have said? I ain't getting near Him. I mean, matter of fact, He's liable to kill me if I come over there by Him. He said, oh no, I know Him. I know Him. I know that He knows my frame. He knows every weakness I have. He knows every fault that I have. But I still want to get over here by Him. Why? Because He loves me and I love Him back. You know what He did? He got in maybe the most vulnerable position that He could. Right there before Jesus Christ. Nothing guarded. Everything was open. I believe Brother Reagan would admit this. When he had his head laid over on him, he's got his back turned to him. He's defenseless. He's got his back to him. He's got his head laid over. His neck's exposed. He's turned his back. You say, why? Because he trusted Him. He trusted Him. He said, I know Him. I know His heart. I know that He's only got my good in mind and intention. So I can turn my back to Him safely. Amen. I can lay my head over on Him safely. I'm not worried about Him cutting my throat.
Amen.
Now how do you view Him? Can you do that? You say, well now if I could hit my checklist, then maybe I'd get near Him. Listen, you ain't going to hit any checklist till you do get near Him. Is that right? You ain't gonna be, the Bible says I can do all things through Christ. You say, well, I would really like to do, there ain't nothing wrong with having a spiritual goal. You know what I mean? I'd really like to do this for the Lord. But don't think because you do that you can get near Him. Until you get near Him, you won't ever be able to do that in the first place.
Amen.
Not unto His honor and glory, not through His power. But you get a hold of the fact that He loves you, and then you can start loving Him back.
Amen.
You know what I want? It's a little bit of a side note. You know what I want to be when it comes to the brethren? I want to be a brother that the brethren feel comfortable with like John did with Jesus. Where they can come up and they can say, unguarded, I need a friend. Unguarded, I just need somebody to love me. I'll turn my back, expose my neck. They're not coming in like this. They're coming in, they're saying, hey, listen, I want to be that. I want to have that love of Jesus Christ that shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, Romans 5:5. I want that love of God to be exuding out. And brethren say, I feel comfortable with Him. I don't get on guard when I get around Him.
Amen.
Let's make it a little more practical. I'm not nervous to say that I took my kids to Disney World when I get around Him. I'm not nervous to say, oh yeah, I saw the other night when I was watching the ball game in my living room on my television. Everybody just chill out now. Is everybody okay? Amen? I'm not nervous around this guy. Why? I can lay my head over on this guy. I ain't got to worry about him. He ain't out to cut my throat. You want to be Christ-like? You want to be Christ-like? Then you're going to have that love of God coming out where the brethren say, I can lay my head over on that guy. I can call that guy up and I ain't got to worry about putting on a facade. I can just be open around that brother. That's what I'm praying to God that He would let be in my heart.
Amen.
I ain't saying it's all there yet, but I'm praying that God would put it there.
Amen.
I want that love and charity down in my heart. And I want the brethren to know it. And I want it to come out. I want them to say, man, that guy right there will love me.
Yep. Amen.
Amen. Amen. He knew that the Lord loved him. He loved him back. You know what? John's the only one still standing at Calvary.
Amen.
You say, why is that? He knew the Lord loved him, so he loved him back.
Amen.
Duty will take you so far. Love will take you all the way to Calvary.
Amen.
You know what he's willing to do? He's willing to do what the Lord asked him to do. He said, John, you take care of Mama. You take care of Mama. Do you realize what kind of commitment he was making? That was a lifelong, or at least until she died, until one of them died. That is a life. The only thing that would separate something like that being a caregiver is death. Will you take care of Mama? You know what he says? Well, you know I will. By the way, he ain't questioning John, do you love me? John said, no, I know you love me and I love you back, sir. Oh, sure, I'll take care of Mama.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
He said, this guy's not just doing this thing out of duty. This guy loves me back.
Amen.
He was willing to take on this lifelong task. You know what he did? We talk about zeal. We'll have zeal for the Lord. It's just a little practical, but he did outrun Peter when he was running to the tomb. More fired up than Peter was. Talked about not loving the world. You know what we ought to get from that? You ever get a hold of the fact that the Lord loves you? I mean, just how much He loves you. I mean, you can start going back to Calvary. You can run that thing right on up through your salvation. And then you can keep running forward and run the timeline. And then you can run it up to this morning. You can run that thing all the way up to right now. You know what you ought to be saying? I'm the Christian whom Jesus loves.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute now, Brother Jared. I heard a Bible corrector saying that. Well, yeah, but I heard a Bible supporter saying that. I think his name was John. He said, you better not be adding to or taking away from.
Amen.
Amen. He's a Bible defender. But he said, I'm also the disciple whom Jesus loves.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Better get a hold of that. And then you know what it does. It makes you start loving Him back.
Yeah.
And then when you start loving Him back, you realize He loves me. And I love Him. And then something starts going. Then you know what? When you throw another person in there, you realize His love comes to me. I'm back to Him. I love these here. Why is that? That's coming from this way. And then it's coming out this way. Everybody see that? Comes out like that. And then you realize, this may not be my favorite person in the world, but they're saved and the Lord loves them too.
Amen. Amen.
I'm talking about that person that did you wrong. The Lord still loves them. Amen. Listen, I didn't say we could all be buddies all the time. But how about let's just keep it in the local church? You say, yeah, but what about so-and-so out in such-and-such a state? No, what you're doing is you're trying to sidestep the issue. You're trying to sidestep the issue. You're going to, what do they call it, step and pivot? Was that, you know what I'm talking about? Like a politician? Well, yeah, but you mean to tell me, Brother Jerry? No, I ain't trying to tell you nothing. I'm trying to tell you this. You've got to start with loving the brethren in the local church. Say, how does that start? Accept the fact that the Lord loves you. That'll help you love Him back. When you start loving Him back, you'll be able to love the brethren. You'll be able to have open arms when the brethren are hurting and they come over and want to lay their head on you. Do you know what, y'all? I think we've got a little bit of an issue sometimes, I think. Some of us, we get so tough. And we try to give such a hard exterior because that's what it means to be a man. And we do that and we're so callous and so hardened like that that the brethren are never going to feel comfortable coming and being able to lay their head on our bosom. Until you extend that out, don't expect anybody to do it. And don't expect to be able to minister a whole awful lot. Until people know, hey, it's okay. It's all right for me to call that guy right there crying and say, I'm ready to quit the ministry. I've been dealing with some things, brother. I'm having some hard time. My heart is broken. I feel like I'm losing my mind. You might as well, see what I mean? You see why it's hard to amen that? We don't like to openly admit anything like that because we're afraid of what's this guy going to do? What's these people around here going to think if I admit that sometimes in this thing I feel like I'm going to lose my mind? Amen. But you know what? The more we love Him, He loves us, we love each other, it's going to make it all the more easy for us to be able to minister to one another. I'm going to tell you this. Don't ever think that you'll get to wash anybody's feet if they're worried about you being critical of their toenails. If I'm thinking that you may laugh at my feet, I have laugh-worthy feet, by the way. But if I'm worried that you're going to laugh at my feet, I promise I'll never take my shoes and socks off so that you'll even get an opportunity to minister. But if I know this person right here is out for my good, why? Because they know that the Lord loves them and they love the Lord. And they know the Lord loves me and they love and care about me. They really want to help me. Then I can break down and I can start slipping those shoes off. I can say, Lord, it's okay. I can see it's okay to be vulnerable around these people. You know what John did? He knew it was a safe place to be vulnerable around Jesus Christ. And until you start seeing Him as that, you know what happens? When people get a wrong view of God, it's like growing up in a home with an abusive father. People are always on edge. Why? Because we never know what Daddy's going to do. Daddy's crazy. What's he going to do? He could come in and he could hurt us. He could do something that was going to hurt us. Listen, God is not ever out to hurt you. He may be out to correct you and chasten you, but He's never out for your bad. It's always going to be for your good. And if we see the goodwill of God coming toward us, we'll be able to extend goodwill outward to each other. I want to be one of them guys that people say, yeah, I don't have to worry about slipping my shoes off around Brother Jared. The guy's trying to minister. I'm not claiming to be that. But boy, I sure am been praying about it. Amen? You say, well, what are we supposed to do? When I know we're supposed to add charity. I know we're supposed to commit our works unto the Lord and then our thoughts are established. So there's some parts of this thing where we have to commit and we begin to do things that are charitable. Is that right? We have to commit those works unto the Lord. Then our thoughts, things begin to change in our thoughts. But I'll tell you another thing that I think is real good. If you see something in the Bible that you're told that you need to have and you don't have it, you know what the Lord wants you to do? Have a little talk with Jesus. You know what you did when you realized salvation was imperative to your eternity and you realized you didn't have it? You just knelt down and said, I ain't got that salvation, and I sure would like to have it. The Bible says over in James 1, if any man lack wisdom. Now, you got to put some effort in. But if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men and abradeth not. God wants to give you wisdom. Amen? Well, if you don't have that love and that charity in your heart, it might be good to go ahead and say, Lord, I ain't really got that. I don't know that I'm really being that kind of Christian where people feel like they can be vulnerable. Where they feel like, man, I could go lay my head down on that guy. I could pull my shoes and socks off in front of that guy. So see, we say, call me if you need anything. Let me know if you need anything. Let me know if you need anything. Unless what they're picking up in your action and in your life is that they really can do that, they're not ever going to do that. And I think a lot of times we don't get to minister because people are just too scared to pull their shoes and socks off around. Pastor.